Heather, what do you think of angel numbers?
Well, I actually started researching more into them because I've been kind of interested in them, and like, what is this? What really is this? But I really didn't get into them until I started thinking about it. I started seeing them all the time. And that's when I was like, what is this? And to me, it's kind of like the universe is always trying to talk to us through like a spiritual way and trying to give us like codes and signs. And I think just us being aware of it and like kind of what they say, opening that third eye and just kind of looking for them. And the stuff that I've found is like not just what they mean, but just basically when you see one, be open into it and like actually be grateful and like, oh, thank you for showing this to me. And just kind of go from there. And I noticed the more like you pay attention to them, the more you'll see. And not just like on your phone or the clock or the oven, but like license plates and receipts and things like that. So I just think sometimes it's just a little wink from like the spiritual side, and depending on the numbers, it can mean different things. And so that's kind of my take on it. I'm still new to it, so I've been kind of like researching what they mean. Of course, 1111 probably people are really familiar with, but for me, it's just like they say, if you see that, just kind of that's when really you're just open to that. The spiritual like window is open. It's like just take a second, close your eyes, and kind of envision and manifest what you want.
Yeah, I've heard of that
So
one. And I've had like my own experience with that one too. Have you?
I definitely have. I have for a while it was happening all the time because I was actually gonna do something. I was like, I don't know if this is what I should be doing. What should I, just very questioning myself. And I kept seeing it everywhere. I would see it not only, like I said, on the phone, I saw it on license plate. I saw it actually got a box, like a package. And for some reason, they had numbers on the side, like printed on, like kind of like the receipt kind of thing. And it even was 1111. I was like, okay, so this means something. This is not a coincidence. And I just had to keep moving forward in that plan of what I was doing.
Yeah, I think it's like a synchronicity. And I agree with you about like angels sending messages. And I do think we have like guardian angels that kind of work on behalf of God in our lives. And I think that we do see these synchronicities when we're falling into the right line, and they can kind of help. And if you look at the world as sort of being in like a matrix sort of thing, you can kind of think of it as these little messages or this little code that's been put in for you to see. And I had one experience with 1111. That's the first one that I'd ever had an experience with. When I was younger, angel numbers weren't really a thing. Nobody talked about anything like that. But when I was 19 and I first was dating my husband, your brother, because we're sister-in-laws. But I was first dating my husband and I just kept seeing 1111 all the time, but I didn't think anything of it because I knew nothing about numerology, nothing about angel numbers. And when I kept seeing it over and over, I thought, oh, this is so strange. And I mentioned it to him on one of our first dates, and he looked at me and he was like, that's so weird because I've noticed that same thing. And I've never even really paid attention to the time much unless it's like when I have to go to work. And he said, like, I've noticed that that keeps happening. And I thought to myself, like, what could that possibly be? But I've always felt like that was a sign. And it's weird. I will go through periods of time in my life where I do not see these numbers or I don't notice them. And then suddenly it'll just start popping up into my life. And only recently did I start to see other numbers as if it's sort of transitioning into things. So like when you were doing research on other numbers or other angel numbers, like which ones kind of stuck out to you that you were looking into?
I would say the 333. I think because for some reason I just kept seeing that all the time, and I would even wake up in the middle of the night, which I'm not really one to wake up in the middle of the night, but I kept waking up, and then I would see the clock, and I thought, okay, this is so weird. But 333 basically, I mean, I guess some people could think other things, but what I found is like it's saying God is with you in that moment. He's with you, he's there, and he's guiding you. kind of like, you know, I mean, 11-11 to me is more of like manifesting what you want or getting what you want. But the 3-3-3 is more of like God is with you right where you're at. And I've kind of needed that just with some things I've been going through and just some anxiety I've been having. And then I was seeing that a lot. So when I did a little bit of research and I found that when I was like, oh, that makes so much sense in a way. Like it gives me such a peace.
Yes. And three is such a prolific number in the Bible too. I mean, it's the number of the Trinity, of course. And we see three pop up a lot in the Bible. There's a lot of numbers that we see repeatedly up in the Bible. So we know that God really relays messages and uses his angels to relay messages through numbers, because we see the same numbers over and over and over.
God definitely uses numbers. I mean, he has a whole book about numbers, but he definitely uses numbers for sure. And it's funny because three has always been, even before, like I said, before we knew anything about this, three is just always, you know, everybody's like, oh, what's your lucky number? And, you know, a lot of people be like, oh, it's seven, or, you know, they pick those. But I always would pick three, and I really didn't know why. I just felt like three was my number. And it's so weird because even like my son, when he was on the soccer team, we got to pick their numbers and he was little. So I picked three and it was just always been there. But then the more I'm hearing about it, and now all these 3-3-3s are coming through, and now knowing really what the three means and a lot of things, it kind of just gives me a peace. And everybody's different. So it's like, if anybody is wondering what their number is, it's just they really just need to listen. They need to just relax and kind of take it in, and it will be shown to them.
What about for people that are seeing a number like 666 that's associated with the mark of the beast? What do you think of that number in your research?
The research I found is like a lot of people do see that as like a mark of the beast and scary, but what I found, it's really not. It's basically about, it's saying that you need to stop focusing on material things. If you start seeing that number a lot, it's kind of more of like you're focusing on just material things and trying to like climb the ladder. And it's just telling you to slow down. Your angel has, your angel will get you there. So don't focus on that, because you'll just push it further away. And that's kind of the research I found.
I could see that. That kind of goes in line with like the law of attraction, because when you're trying to grasp, the tighter you grasp something, the farther it wants to shoot away from you.
Exactly.
So we have to just sort of release it. And so that sounds like maybe it's part of that sort of release.
I think so, because that's one of the things I learned too, is just when you're manifesting, just you have to learn to let it go. Just accept that you already have it, or believe it, receive it, and then you let it go. And then the more you release it, it will come back. It'll come to you.
And I think 666 gets a bad rep too, because of course it's in Revelations and it says that it's the mark of the beast. But a lot of people kind of bypass the fact that Jesus is saying in Revelations, in that it's saying, think of this number, it is the name of a man. And so we have to remember that that's actually like a code, a way of providing us with a code. That's what the mark of the beast is going to be. Not literally the number.
Yes.
But more like the name, or the symbol of the name, is what it sounds like to me.
I agree with that. I do. I agree with that. So I just, I honestly, like going into like the angels and stuff like that, I know we've been kind of studying and reading more about stuff like that, because in the Bible, I mean, you, they do talk about angels, but you really, they don't go into a lot of depth. The same thing we talked about, like the Holy Spirit, like they don't go into a lot of depth about that. And they don't go into a lot of depth about the angels. So it's really important to just kind of do that research yourself.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we've been doing.
I would say so. I mean, we've been reading a few things. We both started to read Jubilee. We're kind of going through the Apocrypha, the missing books of the Bible. And so far, out of reading Jubilee, what have you found so interesting?
Well, they call it the little Genesis, and it's a lot to do with like that creation and stuff like that with Adam and Eve. And what's fascinating to me is reading it, and it talks about like as a kid, when you're reading the Bible in Genesis, you think that Adam and Eve got to that, paradise and they ate the tree on the first day. But reading in Jubilee, it's not like that. It was years, years and years.
There was a long time spent there.
Number one, I thought that was, I was like, oh man, I learned something new. Because as a child, you don't really understand the times and things like that that they're talking about. And then also when they're talking about, it does refer to Inachalot, but it was talking about how when, after she ate of the apple and he shut the mouths of all the animals. And for me, I was like, whoa, the animals could talk, like they spoke. I mean, because we talked about this, and I know you mentioned like that's what you thought in Sunday school.
Yeah, I remember as a kid thinking to myself and actually asking like the youth minister and being like, wait a second, but like a serpent's talking to Eve, so like could animals talk? And there really wasn't a good answer for that. It was more like, well, he's just wearing a serpent skin. And I have always wondered and thought, well, was there this point where animals could speak?
I think so. And they took it out. And that's the thing. It's not because that's not in Genesis. Like even the witnesses, the Jehovah's Witnesses that we grew up in, basically that's kind of what they said. They said, Satan went into the snake and he spoke through the snake, but it was him speaking. But it clearly in like the Jubilee book and everything, it was all the animals spoke and God shut their mouths once that happened. And I found that super interesting.
Yes, and I think it mentions that the language was Hebrew, I think, and they all spoke Hebrew at that time, and that was the language of heaven and the language of the angels,
Yes.
is what it says. So there's a lot of really interesting bits and pieces. And with the angel part, I'm wondering, do you believe in guardian angels?
I do. The more that I've been reading these books, like I haven't gotten to the Book of Enoch yet, but just the Jubilee, it talks so much about angels, different kinds of angels, what their roles are. And I just found it so fascinating. They actually named the certain angels are for this and that and different things like that. And I'm like, whoa, but it's kind of like there are angels, it's just like they're higher up than other angels. So it's kind of like they have different jobs.
A hierarchy.
Yes. And I just found that, I just thought that was so interesting. But I do believe in guardian angels. I do believe, I mean, it now there is a scripture in just in the Bible that says, that God will send out his angels, they'll hearken to his cries, like, and he'll let, they'll hear us. And then they'll go and relay back to God. So I just think that there's angels out there and we do need to be aware of it. And I just think that since the beginning of time, they've tried to put that out of the way. Like they didn't really want it there for people. And that's to me just another thing of like they want control. They don't want us to think, oh, like, oh, I can talk to an angel, like I, and he can speak to God for me. So I think that's another thing they try to do.
It's super interesting whenever you think about the concept of the guardian angels, because I remember growing up and seeing the picture of like the guardian angel watching over the kids. But there aren't a whole lot of references in the Bible to like the guardian angels, but yet there is sort of this inherent feeling, I think. Like we all just sort of know that they're there and that we have them and that God has provided them for us. And you'll hear so many stories of people that were like saved by these random people that like disappeared. I've had weird little experiences that have happened in my life that kind of have made me feel like, oh, I have a guardian angel on my side. And I'm just going into that whole idea of the guardian angels. I think that it being mentioned in the Book of Jubilees is very interesting because you don't see it specifically really mentioned in a lot of other spots in the Bible. And it refers to that as being one of the types of angels, are the ones that guard over the individual humans. And so.
I mean, they ha and there's even the fallen, they call them the fallen angels, and they're actually here there to tempt us. And I thought, wow, ooh, you know,
Yeah.
It's true. Like, if you believe in one kind of angel, you have to believe in all the angels. I
Yeah.
mean, there was an angel that came and spoke to Mary when she said, told her she was having Jesus. And he
Yeah.
said, don't be afraid. I mean,
Absolutely.
so it's kind of like, I think that we just have to really realize it, kind of going back to one of our other discussions about the spiritual warfare and just knowing that there's good and evil. And we have to tap into that, the good,
Yeah.
and fight off the bad.
Yeah, according to the Book of Enoch, and I think Jubilees kind of has a similar method or a similar ideology, is in the Book of Enoch it talks about these fallen angels, and they were the watchers. So they were a separate set of angels, these watchers that were all over the world, and they were overseeing the sons of man, the daughters of man, and they were overseeing the human beings. They were sent here to protect us, to watch over us. And then a large group of them, according to the Book of Enoch, I think it says there's about 200 angels. It lists about 8 or 9 names there of those angels that fell, that were the leaders of that 200. When they fell and they mated with the women and they created this Nephilim, during the flood, the Nephilim were killed off, but then their punishment from God was that the Nephilim would separate, the spiritual part of them would separate from their body and would roam the earth as demons until the end of days. And they would be here to cause corruption, cause war, cause destruction, cause animosity between people and countries and things like that. So it's a very interesting idea. And then we also still have these fallen angels who, according again to the Book of Enoch, they were then taken down into an abyss and tied there by I believe Raphael. I think it was him. But out of those four archangels, they have a lot of different things. They have a lot of different meanings. What do you think of the main four archangels?
I think they're I just I think it's really interesting, because they're talking about like Raphael is the angel like for healing and stuff like that, and I have kind of taken that into my, like, when I'm praying, I'll call to him. Like, if I need healing, or if my, child needs some healing if they're sick. And I just think that it gives you a better understanding of who you need to call on during different times. I found it fascinating too in the Jubilee, where they had different angels for like all the weather patterns. Like, there was an angel that was over the thunder. There was an angel over, just all kinds of things like that. There was even the angel over hell. There was the angel over just like what the clouds, the sky, just anything you could think of, like in the earth. And I thought, wow, like that kind of makes sense. Like what we talked about, it's like they eventually started worshiping these things. I'm making like the sun gods or the rain gods, whatever. And it kind of makes sense, because when you're reading in Jubilee, there was angels for every, even the seasons.
Yes, I found that. That's one thing that I really found the most fascinating about the Book of Jubilees, because you don't see that really anywhere else. But all of a sudden, you're really hit with this information that there were these angels, they're nature spirit angels that are over everything from the constellations to the sea. You have these water angels, you have the weather angels, like you were saying, you have all of these things. And then you have this history all around the world, every country you go to, every single era of time, you have these groups, these tribes that are cut off from society that are worshiping some type of entity, some type of deity. And they're usually tied to the weather phenomenon. There's always a rain god, there's always a thunder god,
There
there's
is.
always a water god. And even when you look into Greek mythology, or you look into Norse mythology, or you go over and you look into the Mayan mythology and religions, you're going to see the same thing over and over. And then you wonder, is there a memory of this? Is there a memory of was there a time where there was a spiritual realm that was actually visible to all of us, perhaps before the flood? And when we were able to see that spiritual realm, we were able to remember and recollect a lot of it.
Yes.
So if you notice, a lot of these societies begin with a flood myth or a flood True. Narrative, I should say. And when they begin with that, it also begins to kind of bring out these deities where they're worshiping them for rain and for crops mm-hmm. to grow.
Definitely.
It makes you wonder if they're thinking back and remembering that spiritual realm that they once had seen. Mm-hmm. And then they pass that information down to their children. And it gets diluted along the way where they begin to worship the angel as mm-hmm. opposed to the creator. And you see that a lot because Jesus even makes a reference to that when he's looking at some plaques that have the words of God. And mm-hmm. he says, you're worshiping this rather than the creator. You're worshiping the creator of this thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And he alludes to that so many times. Mm-hmm. So I think that we as humans have this tendency. We are creatures that want to worship, we have that hole in our heart. We need that love. We want to give that love and we want to receive that love. And so we have this tendency to embrace worship and often worship things that we're not what we're supposed to worship. We're often worshiping the creation rather than the creator.
Exactly. I mean, people can even worship, in this time of day, people can worship their job. Mm-hmm. They can worship their looks. They can worship their money.
Absolutely.
They can worship sports. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like we do have it in us to where we have that purpose, like that hole where we have a bigger purpose. We have a creator. And that it's just a deep, deep pit in people like that needs to be filled.
And we always create an idol.
Yes, definitely. Always. That's usually, I mean, even food. I mean, people.
Absolutely. Food, drugs, alcohol, all these things that people fill themselves with. Mm-hmm. It is an idol.
Yes.
And it's filling that hole and it's filling that pit. And even whenever you go to like an AA meeting, mm-hmm. One of the first things that you, as part of the process, you admit that there is something higher than yourself.
Yes.
Because that's such a necessary step in order to move forward. And whenever you're unable to do that, it's a lot more difficult to get onto that next step, you know? So I'm just kind of going back to that idol. You can really see just how important that idolization is, or just how infected we are with it. Because you look at Moses, and Moses was gone up on the mountain for, what was it, 40 days, mm-hmm. something of that nature. And then when he came back down, they were already worshiping a golden calf. They had went to Aaron. They had him melt down all of their gold and create this golden calf because they needed something to worship. They were so empty and lost without this leadership and this communication. Mm-hmm. And it just really symbolizes what happens to humans when they don't have that in their lives. Mm-hmm. And you'll see so many people deny it. You know, they'll deny. And these people are often the ones that end up coming around too in the end. You see that. So mm-hmm.
I was watching this thing one time. It was talking about like these two philosophers, and one was Sigmund Freud, I believe it was. But he was talking about like men need pleasure, and that's the only thing they need to like reach their highest point in life mm-hmm. is just pleasure. Mm-hmm. And then one of them was like, no, I don't think that's it. It's like it's purpose, because, you know, mm-hmm. if you're always trying to fill your life with pleasure, pleasure can actually turn into a bad thing or addictive thing.
Yeah.
And it's like we shouldn't always be looking into our instant gratification of pleasure. It needs to be more of our purpose. What is our purpose in life? Mm-hmm. And that is where our root purpose comes from, is, you know, we're children of God and he is our creator mm-hmm. and we need to worship him, and he gives us our purpose. And then we do get pleasure from having a purpose.
Yeah. They say that the happiest people, the truly happiest people on earth, are not the richest people.
No.
There is actually a cap where you make a certain amount of money and you can't get any happier. Mm-hmm. And that cap is not as high as what most people would mm-hmm. think. Now, we have had a lot of hits with the economy. So it's way higher now just to live sort of a normal middle class life now.
Yeah.
But basically the point is, being wealthy does not make you happy. And in fact, being wealthy often leads to depression.
It does.
There's a a pretty high suicide rate. There's a lot of things that go on. People don't realize that money isn't the root of happiness. It often just leads that hole, and seeking it isn't always the best thing that we can do for ourselves, even though a lot of times we think it is. And of course, again, we're talking about, you know, with the inflation and stuff, we're talking about people that have money but want to just, we're talking about just getting rich, rich, rich.
Yes.
That's not
super, super rich.
Yes, those top 10% people, they're not the happiest people on earth.
No. That's what I say. And even like you can look at celebrities and stuff and their lives, like, I mean, they not only are they, you know, rich, but they have status where supposedly, you know, people love them, everybody loves them.
Yeah.
But, you know, really in reality, a lot of them are some of the loneliest people. Yeah. And so many have committed suicide and stuff. And so many have got on drugs and addiction. And it's because it is a lonely world. Like, you have a lot of money and you have that status symbol, but you sometimes you might not have true friends.
Yeah. People just use you.
True love. You know, because people, I hate to say it, but it's an evil world a lot of the times, and people try to get stuff out of them.
Yeah.
And it's even happened to children, children stars or own parents.
Yeah. Child stars are known for that with
their
parents.
Yeah. It can be bad. I mean, so it's kind of like, yes, you have to figure out, of course, having some money doesn't hurt. Like we're saying, we're not saying, you know, just normal income, but super duper rich people, it's not making them happy. That's not what's making them happy.
Absolutely not. So it's just kind of, again, like, what do we fill our lives with that gives us meaning and purpose, like you were saying? And I think Freud got some, he kind of got some things right there, father of psychiatry and all that sort of thing. But really who I think took over and did such a wonderful job of kind of filling that gap was Carl Jung. And for years, he's been such a meaningful part of my life, just reading his work, because he's really set me on this path of things, of my mindset, and he traveled the entire world just kind of looking at these different cultures, and he's one of the first ones that really put it together and created the concept of this collective consciousness that we all have and that we all share, and he just kept seeing the similarities between the regions and between the cultures, going, hey, why do they have a flood narrative? Why do they have a flood narrative? Wait a second. Why do they also have this, you know, story and that story? And he started piecing it together and realizing, like, this is coming from somewhere.
Yes.
And we're all feeling something. We're all reading something.
Yes.
We're either interpreting something. I mean, it's, he really could never come to a complete conclusion of exactly what it was.
Yes.
But whatever it is, it's very powerful.
Oh, definitely.
And we all can tap into it. Everybody can.
Yes, everybody. Because everybody needs to know their power.
Yeah.
And kind of just be able to tap into that. And it's just kind of like just control, like knowing yourself and not letting outside things kind of come inside, if that makes sense. Like not letting negative people affect you negatively, you know. And just different things like that, you know, because you'll run into people having a bad day. You don't want to take that on yourself, but just a lot to do with control. And you can have happiness.
Yeah.
You can have tons of happiness, and it's going to come from within, but it will have to come from a higher power.
Yes, absolutely. And just kind of giving yourself over to that, because then you're relinquishing control and you're allowing that to flow through you, that connection to everybody else.
Yes.
That connection to the spiritual realm that is good and all things good, and God is love and God is goodness. So if you're allowing that to kind of go through into your energy, that's the route to happiness. That's the way to find that. And I do think that, you know, we were talking again about angels, but I do think that some of these weird little synchronicities and some of the reasons why they're here, again, to watch and protect, but also to help bring those messages to us and show us when are we getting in alignment with that consciousness, that collective consciousness, that Christ consciousness.
Yes.
Are we falling in line? And when we start to see these little synchronicities, we have that nudge that we are in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Keep going in that direction. Keep falling in line, because mm-hmm. you're starting to see it all line up perfectly.
Now, I know we've talked about the angel numbers. How do you feel about like the little signs where, because I also was reading about like things can have, like the coins, if you find little coins mm-hmm. laying about, or, you know, a lot of people do the card, like they think if they see a cardinal or some, it's like a robin, or even like, oh, you know, their song came on, mm-hmm. you know, because we had a death in the family and that actually did happen to us. A song, his favorite mm-hmm. song just kept coming on. Not just on the radio, yeah. in the doctor's office, you know.
Randomly, and it was an old song, too.
Yes, mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very strange, but now it's kind of like I'll see other little things. And I just want to know, what are your thoughts on those little kind of things like that?
I think that they're basically, the angels... And I think we know that enough from the Bible, but the angels are in touch with the people that are past.
Mm-hmm.
I do not necessarily know that we can contact the people that have passed on,
yes.
but I do believe the angels are in full contact with them.
Oh, I agree.
And I think that they send us little messages and mm-hmm. little signs, and
too.
They do beautiful, powerful things. And when we're talking about the nature angels, what popped into my mind is my uncle passed. Several months back, and whenever he passed, we were leaving his funeral, myself and my brother, and we looked up in the sky and we saw the most beautiful rainbow.
Ooh.
And it was so random. It wasn't raining, and it was just such a strange thing. My brother took pictures of it, but what was even stranger still is my other brother, who was already home from the funeral, he mm-hmm. called us on the phone as we're driving, looking at this rainbow. And he says, I see this rainbow in the sky and I know that it's him.
Oh my God.
And I thought,
goosebumps.
Like, what are the odds? So going back to that sort of like angels will leave these little symbols. Mm-hmm. I really feel like that happened.
I definitely do. And what's funny is that's actually one of the things that too, I read, it says like finding little coins,
mm-hmm.
Certain birds, rainbows was one of them, and mm-hmm. it said not just like you said when it's raining, but
yeah.
random times,
just random, completely
songs,
random.
Just little things like that. But I found that fascinating too. Oh, that's such an awesome story.
It's such a neat thing that we could have these experiences, and
yes.
I know a lot of people like to chalk things like this up to coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the way that I feel is, of course, I feel there's no coincidences.
Yes, I don't need that. Me too.
And yeah, and I feel like coinkydink or coincidences is something that like is programmed into children from a really early
yes.
age. And it kind of teaches them to steer away from the spiritual realm.
I agree.
It teaches them to not follow their instincts.
And their guts.
Yes, and it teaches them to not really trust God and fall into alignment.
Yes.
So they miss the synchronicities because they chalk everything up to coincidence. But we have to really look at this. Okay, so humans are supposed to be a coincidence. We're supposed mm-hmm. to be kind of programmed to believe this idea that we're just coincidentally here, this earth, everything's a coincidence, right?
Oh, man.
Well, do you coincidentally win the lottery? I mean, a lot of people would say, well, yeah, you pick these numbers and it's just a coincidence. But it's not the same thing, because it's like we won a lottery that we didn't buy a ticket to, and the ticket doesn't exist and the lottery doesn't exist and none of it exists. And that's what happened. Like, that's how we're all here and we're all created. Like, none of it existed before.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly. So it's just, you know, and that might be kind of like a weird little rant there, but
no, I think it's great.
I just think we're pushed in this direction, like, not to fall in line with the synchronicities. But that's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking for the coincidences.
Yes.
And we need to know that there are no coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
It's all meant to be when we're following in our path.
That's what I think. I think some people be like, why am I not seeing these things? You will see them
mm-hmm.
if you open your mind to it.
Absolutely.
You will.
Absolutely.
I promise.
I mean, if you're going to look at every single one of them and you're going to write it off and you're going to go, this isn't good enough. Yeah. This isn't good enough. Think about when Jesus was on earth and he was creating, he was healing people, raising people from the dead. And mm-hmm. he was doing, and everybody's just like, oh. I mean, it's just, it's like, and he did get a little frustrated. Yes. He's like, okay, oh, ye of little faith.
I
like,
know it.
It's like, what more do I need to do here to show you? And he also talks about signs. And he said, like, at that time, he said, no sign will be given to this generation but the sign of Jonah, which I think he was referring to the fact that Jonah was in the belly of the whale for about 3 days. And yeah. he was dead for 3 days before he rose again.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's
There's
just
number three again.
Yeah, there. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so it all just keeps kind of going full circle. And we have to look at it like that. And I think when we do, and we quit saying, no, I need a bigger sign. I want to see a feather. No, wait, it has to be this specific one from this specific bird on this specific day. That's not how it works.
No.
Open your mind and then let it come to you. And then the more you pick it up, the bigger the sign will be.
Exactly. And it will come more, and it will come more, like, more often. Mm-hmm. And there will be, like, you'll be like, whoa. You know, it'll be mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially I notice when when the Bible talks about where two or more are gathered, he mm-hmm. will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing in this sort of thing. Like, if you're around somebody that also believes in these synchronicities yes. and stuff like that, you'll start to notice it because you're kind yes. of bouncing off of each other's yes. energy and you're pulling it toward one another.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Because if you're around someone that's not into it or mm-hmm. not believing it or putting it down, oh, whatever.
That doubt.
That it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's best to keep things to yourself unless you are surrounded with a person that's going mm-hmm. to align with what you're, you know, agree with what you're thinking.
Yes, you always want to do that. You do not ever want to let somebody plant seeds of doubt in your mind.
No.
Because those seeds of doubt will never grow faith.
Yes.
How can a seed of doubt ever grow faith? So we have to remember, stay away from the ones that want to plant those seeds of doubt in your mind and in your heart. Stay away from that. That's something, you know, you can love them.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, of course. But we all have people like that in our lives.
Yes. Yes.
Some closer than others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes they're in your own house. It happens. But yes. you've got to keep a little bit of that sacred and that garden inside, you know, the energy, mm-hmm. keep that sacred and only allow people that are going to water those seeds of faith to yes. really get to know your dreams and your hopes.
It's true. And I think the more you do it, it gets easier. And sometimes it's hard, but I know we do complain about things mm-hmm. ourselves. And I know sometimes we speak things we don't want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be the first one to admit that the other day, you know, I did a workout and then I just felt kind of like, oh, you know, what's the point of this? And I actually expressed that to someone I won't mention. But I was like, I just feel like, you know, I'm doing all this and it's just not doing anything. Or, you know, I feel like I'm doing all this hard work and I'm not seeing what I want to see. And they came right back and said, because life is nothing but it's not ever going to be good. It just gets you down all the time. And you know, that's life. You just have to realize that it doesn't get better. It gets worse.
Oh, ouch.
And when I heard those words for a minute, just a millisecond, yeah. mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you know. But then something inside of me, there was like a fire mm-hmm. that just lit inside of me. I was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. I'm not going down this road. You're not taking mm-hmm. me down there with you.
Yes.
And it was just like this burning fire that just went off inside of me. I'm like, no, I yeah. can't. Even if I didn't ever see anything, I'm going to have faith that I will, because I'll be happier having faith for something
yes.
than if I don't have faith and never see it, if that
Absolutely.
Makes sense.
Absolutely. Hope is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you, trust me, I see results. You take very good care of yourself. If you're falling down the hill, I don't know where I'm going. But
I know exactly what you're talking about, though. You can have these dreams and you can have these hopes, but you do have to be careful who you talk to about it, because other people will say, "Well, us starting a podcast."
I'm still hearing it, but I refuse to.
Yes, like us starting a podcast. Listen, I know a lot of people are doing it, but this is something that we really feel passionate about. But hey, we haven't been supported this whole time by everybody. There's a lot of people that have been like, okay, nobody's going to listen to this, right?
Closest people.
Oh, it's your own people.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's like, you know what? It's like, I still enjoy doing it. Yeah. And I enjoy eating out with you. I enjoy talking. We're going to be talking anyway. So it's like, hey, why don't we record ourselves?
Exactly. Like, there's no reason not to. There's no reason to not, like, want to develop, like, a community of people that kind of have similar thoughts.
Yeah, and hope. Ideas. Like I said, it's like, you know, we've always said that we always feel like people try to suck our energy or try to
energy bring vampires. Us down.
And it's like, you know, the more you are together with people builds you up. And that's kind of why we're doing this. We want people to listen that, you know, we want to build you up too. And know that we're just ordinary people. And if we can get there, you can get there. Yes. We can get there together.
Exactly. We can use that energy instead of, you know, the energy being divided. We can use this kind of moment, and we can gain some momentum as a society to sort of really bring ourselves up to a higher level, I think, of like consciousness,
understanding, faith.
We've got to raise our energy. There's a guy on TikTok that I thought this was so interesting, but he wrote a book, and he's doing this thing where he's gonna go live on TikTok. I think in August. I don't remember the date. I'll have to look it up. But he's going to go live at the same time, and he wants everybody that wants to elevate their consciousness to get on.
Oh, cool.
And he wants to see if we can create so many people in such a large amount of energy that's just all meditating and focusing on the world and changing the world and lifting up our consciousness, if it will work.
Hey, I'm in.
That's what I said, because it's like, you know, What a great thing to even think about.
Yes.
Like, we can do it. Energy is real. The consciousness that we all share is real. We can certainly enter that.
I mean, we definitely know negative energy is real. I mean, you can't even turn on the news or anything without seeing negative energy. And you know how it makes you feel. It makes you anxious or fearful. Yeah. Or, oh, I can't send my kid to school anymore. I can't do this. I mean, so you have to think about it. Why can't positive energy do the same thing, but on the opposite side of the spectrum? You know, everybody come together and have this, you know, harmonized, you know, meditation where you're just going like to the higher calling. And it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, also like basically what you're saying when Jesus said when one or two are gathered, you know, with them. And it's kind of like, you know, also that's why. It's like a lot of people when they go to church on Sunday, and you go in and you're feeling so good, you know, when you leave, and you're just so full of faith and energy, and you're pumped up from your worship. But then, you know, you get, it's the days during the week that knock you down and start to make you feel defeated.
Yeah. Your days in your home, if you're like a stay-at-home mom or dad, you get bogged down with that. And then of course, a lot of people, most people are out there working their 9-to-5 jobs and they get really just bogged down with that. And you just get beat up by the world.
You do.
And there is so much negative energy that gets fed, and we have to stop feeding it. We have to
starve it. Don't give it any energy.
Starve that. Cut it off at the roots, and we need to fill it with that positive energy instead. And we do have to start doing these things to protect and preserve our energy as we go out into the world.
We do. And there's a scripture that says, above all else, guard your heart. And I think that's kind of what it is. It's guard your energy, guard your heart. Just from the negativity of the world. Think of the good and the lovely.
Yeah. I think that's the best thing that we can all do. And just sort of have our faith, share our faith, and just kind of try to move through each day, mm-hmm. trying to do our best, trying to think our best, trying to feel our best.
Yes. Just keep it going. You mess up, well, you're going to start over the next day and try again. Mm-hmm. That's all we can do is we're going to mess up.
Yeah. And eventually we'll make it.
Mm-hmm. We will.